Good afternoon. It's good to see y'all today. We are starting a new sermon series, as Sarah mentioned, called For Every Generation. We're talking about what are the truths that we should keep in mind. What are the kind of commands that God has given us to be faithful to in every generation? And we're going to do that by looking through the book of 2 Timothy throughout this summer. So if you want to get a sneak peek, preview, if you want to read ahead, you're more than welcome to read the book of 2 Timothy. We'll be going through it a couple verses at a time. In today's passage, we'll be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. And our message is titled, God's Gracious Role for You. God's Gracious Role for You. This past week, many of you probably may not have noticed or seen this yourself, but there was a trailer released for a new M. Night Shyamalan movie. As I suspected, people really don't care. It's fine, you know. The movie is called Old, and it's kind of a thriller, suspense, supernatural movie where these people who are on this beach are faced with a situation where people, instead of aging over years and decades like people normally do, they're in this place and they find out that they're actually aging in minutes and hours. Like every 15 minutes or so, you get a year older. And it's this challenging situation. And the basic question that the movie forces is this sobering question. What do you do? What would you do? How would you go about living if you knew that even throughout the course of this one day, that your life might come to an end? And I know for many of us, those questions are not just movie questions. This past year, especially during the pandemic, I think many of us have had to wrestle with questions like that. What are the things I would focus on if I knew that I was going to pass away soon? What are the words I would want to hear from my loved ones if they were going to pass away soon? And these, I think, are really sobering and challenging questions that are brought up, not only in this movie, but in our lives, especially during this past year. And in this book of 2 Timothy, actually, we find a parallel. For those of you who may not know, the person writing 2 Timothy, Apostle Paul, he's about 60 years old at this time when he's writing, and he knows that he is going to pass away soon. He is likely imprisoned, likely going to be executed, and he knows his days are numbered. And it's with that heavy, sober feeling that he writes what he writes in this book. And so for us, when we read this, when we study these passages, I think it's helpful for us to know, man, these are the words of someone who knows that he is on death's door. And with the time that he has, what is he going to communicate to the people that he cares about? The letter is titled Timothy because he is writing to this man, this younger man named Timothy. By the time he's writing this, Paul, like I said, is about 60 years old, and he's known Timothy for about 14 years. So it's not a short time. He's known Timothy for a while, and he's writing these words. And as we look into today's passage, we see that what is on Paul's heart, and I think what is God's heart for us, is this one thing. That God has a role for you to play in impacting future generations for the gospel. That God has a role for you to play in impacting future generations for the gospel. We're going to see that as we dig into these first seven verses of 2 Timothy. And so I'm going to read it for us, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. Like I said, you can join along on the screen, on your Bible, on your phone. This is what it says in the ESV. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Join me as I pray for us as we dig into this word. Father, we come to you this afternoon. Lord, we look to you and we praise you, God, that you are from eternity to eternity. God, that you are great and above all of the challenges and the situations of our life. And yet that you are so gracious and kind and loving to meet us in our lowest moments. That you know that us inside and out, the goods and the bad, and yet still you are unconditionally faithful in your love towards us. And we pray that as we gather here this afternoon, that you would speak to us through your word. God, that you would graciously confront us where we need correction and rebuke, and that you would also gently encourage and empower us in the areas in which we have fallen short or have doubts. So we pray that you would be here today, and that you would not only help us to just listen, but Lord, we pray that you would use your words and help us to apply it to our lives and to live it out. And so please be gracious, Lord, to meet us here. Lord, please speak through me, but more, even more importantly, through your word. And Lord, help us to live in this worship, in this joy, in this trust in you. We thank you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we look into these first seven verses, the first thing that we see is that you have to know that you are a part of a larger story of faith. You have to know that you are a part of a larger story of faith. And we see that here in these verses as Paul points to God's work through Timothy's physical lineage. So Paul points to God's work through Timothy's physical lineage, meaning like the people he's physically connected and related to. And first off, he starts by mentioning his own physical lineage. You know, Paul does this from time to time, but in verse 3, he says, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors. And so Paul is starting, you know, he's priming the pump to say, you know, I serve God, and I serve God just like my ancestors did, just like my Jewish forefathers did before me. That God was working through my forefathers and my ancestors, and now I have this faith, and it's in this faith that I am serving God. And then he highlights Timothy's mother and his grandmother. He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And Paul, what he's doing here as he's pointing to Timothy's physical lineage is that he's saying it is a good and worthy thing to praise God for how God has been working in your family and in your peoples. He's pointing out that when God works in our lives, it's not that God just works in your individual life, but that God has also been working in you, but also in the people around you. Right? For Timothy, it's not just that Timothy has faith in God and he's following God by himself, but that God was at work in Timothy's grandma, and God was at work in Timothy's mom, and now God is at work in Timothy himself. Just the same way that it's not just that Paul randomly received this faith, but that Paul's ancestors also had this faith in their lives. And so he starts out by pointing out this physical lineage, and he's praising God for it. He's saying it's a good thing that God is graciously working, not just you in your life, but also in your family and in your peoples. For us this afternoon, I think that's important to know because maybe particularly because we're American, it is easier for us to think of our lives in more individual terms, right? We try to do what we want. You know, we have our individual freedoms that we're so passionate and we fight for, which are good things. But oftentimes, it can be hard for us to realize and recognize that even the way that God works is not just between you and him, but it's with you and your family, you and your people. And that's how God has been working actually throughout history. We see that in the Bible, but we also see that in our lives. You know, as I've been growing more and more aware of just my Korean-ness over the past couple years, you know, I've realized, oh, well, there's a story that God has been at work even in Korean people and even in Korean Americans, that there's this kind of large way that he's been working, and I'm a part of how God has been at work. Recently, I found out that the people in Korea, they were first introduced to Christianity back in the 1600s, right? They went over to China, which is, you know, that's normal. And then in China, they found these missionary, these writings, these Christian writings from an Italian Jesuit missionary. And so that's how the gospel first got into Korea. But if some of y'all know, after that, there was a period of persecution for a while. And then the first Protestant missionary, so people who we would say, you know, Protestant meaning we would say just Christian missionary to Korea, is actually an American missionary from Ohio. Kind of random, right? From Ohio. And he's actually buried in Toledo, which if you guys know, that's where my parents live. You know, I went to high school in Toledo. And so I'm like, oh, this is really weird that God used this random missionary person to bring the gospel to Korea, and that person actually is less than an hour away from here, buried. And it's like, it gives me some context that, oh, wow, God has been at work in my people, in my family, for a long, long time. Even recently with Sunghyun, as we got married, we were able to share, wow, God's been at work in our families for 5 generations. And it's a blessing to have parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles who pray for us, who care for us. And that's what Paul's highlighting. He's saying, yo, it's such a blessed thing that God has been at work in your family for generations. It's a blessed thing that God has been working in our people group for generations. And that's what he is highlighting here. But he doesn't stop there, but he continues on. And we see that it's not just Timothy's physical lineage that is being celebrated, but we also see that Paul himself plays a significant role in Timothy's spiritual lineage. In Timothy's spiritual lineage. And we see this throughout the letter, but specifically here in these verses, we see that Paul loves and treats Timothy like a father. He approaches Timothy as a father. We see that in verse 2, he calls Timothy my beloved child. That's language that he doesn't use often. I don't think there's any other specific person that is mentioned as a beloved child like that. And this is not the first time he's referred to Timothy as his child. In 1 Timothy, he says that Timothy is my true child in the faith. In Philippians, he says, you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. And so even though Paul is not physically related to Timothy, he's like, yo, Timothy is like my son so much that he's my beloved child. He's someone that I care about. Even later on, he says, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. And I think some of us, you know, that's what I think for many, right? For us, those who we have parents who are good, who know good parents, that, you know, any parent would be filled with joy to be able to see their child after being separated for a while. And so Paul views himself as a spiritual father to Timothy. We see that he also prays for him. In verse 5, he says, I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. You know, and when we look at this, literally he's saying, I pray regularly for you. That maybe it's literally every night and day, but maybe it's just regularly. I am praying for you. I'm constantly in prayer for you. That's the kind of love, devotion, and commitment that he shows Timothy. And lastly, we see that he's a significant part. He's played a part even in Timothy receiving his gifts. He said, he's talking about how he's received this gift from God and that he was there. He says, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And so not only does Paul highlight, you know, Timothy's physical lineage, but he says, yo, your spiritual lineage is just as important. And I think that's important for us for many reasons. One, because for some of us, we may not have physical family or parents or grandparents who passed down the faith to us. Maybe by God's grace and by his will, you might be the first person in your immediate family who has come to know Christ. And so if our hope and if our joy was only in our physical lineage, you know, it would be a bummer, right? Like if you're the first, it would be a bummer. You'd be like, oh man, I don't have grandparents who prayed for me. I don't have parents who prayed for me. But here, you know, Paul is saying your spiritual lineage is important too. That even though Paul is not his physical father, that he's still someone who prays for him regularly, who cares for him. And it's also encouraging because Paul himself is single. Paul himself has no physical children to pass on this faith and this love and care to, but that he is able to still show the love of a father through the relationships he has with his spiritual family. And so it highlights there is such an importance to the spiritual family relationships we have, and that he has played a significant part in that. I think this afternoon, and I would ask us, who are the physical family members that we can be thankful for? You know, maybe you haven't thought about it, but maybe it is your grandparent. Maybe it is that annoying uncle and aunt that introduced you to Jesus before you even cared. But you're looking back and you're like, wow, it was a blessing that there was this person who prayed for me before I even knew anything. And perhaps this afternoon is an opportunity for us to just take a moment to praise God and thank him for the family members he's placed in our lives who have encouraged us in our walk of faith. And it's also an opportunity for us to be thankful for people who are not our physical family members, but who have still loved on us nonetheless, who have been a spiritual brother, a sister, spiritual parent to us, who have loved us and cared for us, prayed for us even when our parents wouldn't. And to say, God, thank you for placing such people in my life. That even if my family, my physical family, wasn't able to be there in that way, that you have placed spiritual family in my life to pray for me, to love me, and to care for me. And so Paul first points that out, and then later we see he praises God for Timothy's sincere faith. So whether it's his physical lineage or his spiritual lineage, at the end of the day, what he is thankful for is that those groups contributed to Timothy's sincere faith. And so Paul has known Timothy for over 14 years now. For some of us, that doesn't seem like much. Okay, we got a couple decades under our belt, 14 years, not that long, right? But Timothy, he's a fairly young man, relatively. So 14 years is a good chunk of his life. And Paul has seen him through the ups and downs of his faith. And he can say, I know that, Timothy, you have a sincere faith. And I think that means something, because when you look through Paul's other letters, he also talks about people who didn't have sincere faiths, people who left him after a while, people who were tempted by the world, people who turned away for other reasons. Even later in this letter, later in chapter 4, verse 10, he says, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. And so Paul has seen his share of people who didn't really have a sincere faith, people who may have been a part of the religious group for other reasons, people who did not really believe what they said that they believed. But he's known Timothy long enough to say, Timothy, you have this sincere faith where you really do know the Lord, where you really do love and trust and surrender to the Lord. And I think that is one challenge, that is one question that we have to consider even this afternoon. Man, when I honestly come before God, do I have a sincere faith? I may have family members who have poured into me. I may have spiritual family members who have poured into me. But is my faith before God sincere? Do I really believe him? Have I really been growing in my love for him? Do I really know him? Do I really care? And it's an opportunity to say, I want to know and love this God more. And so we see that Paul is doing this work just to show Timothy that he is part of a bigger picture, a larger story. And for us, I think it's so important to remember that even as we're here as a part of this church in Detroit, to know that we are part of a bigger story. Sometimes it's hard for us, day to day being a part of this church, day to day going about in our faith. It's hard for us because we feel like we're alone. We're just doing it by ourselves. It's so hard. But it's helpful to remember that there is a bigger picture. There's a larger story that even our church and you are a part of. For those of us who may not be well aware of Detroit history, Detroit was founded back in the 1700s, 1701-ish, as a French Catholic settlement. And it wasn't until like 100 years later you had the first Protestant churches coming in. For those of you who might have seen, there's this church, I think it's Jefferson Ave Presbyterian Church. It's been around since 1830-something. Okay, it's been here for like 150, almost 200 years. And then, you know, those were the first Christians who settled in this area. And then also notably, I don't know if you've been in Greektown, you might know, but there's Second Baptist Church, which is actually the oldest African-American church in the Midwest that was started in Detroit not too many years afterwards. It's also in 1830-something. Jefferson Ave might have been 1817, now that I think about it, but those dates don't matter to the point, okay? God has been at work in this city long before you were alive, long before I was alive, long before even the idea of this church was alive. God has been at work in this city. God has been at work in this people. And I think for us, it's helpful to remember that us being here trying to live out the gospel faithfully is not an isolated endeavor, but it's part of a work that God has been doing literally for hundreds of years, just the way that his work in your life is a part of a larger story that he has been writing. And so today, as we look into these words, man, do we realize and are we grateful for the people who have come before us, our spiritual family members, our physical family members? Man, can we take a moment to thank God and praise God for the people he's placed in our lives that we might be able to hear about and know this God? And even as we take a moment to praise God and thank him, the challenge is this. It's not just that those people were there to invest in us, but it's also that now you have a role in continuing that story. That there are physical family members that you can impact and influence. There may be also spiritual family members that you can impact and influence. I think about regularly in our church, and specifically in our city, that there are so many people who are growing up without good older brothers and sisters, who are growing up without good or available or present parents. And I think about the opportunity we have to be spiritual brothers and sisters, spiritual fathers and mothers to some of the people who are growing up and living in our city. You know, what's interesting, if you don't know, is that Timothy, even though his grandma and his mom were Christians, actually, it seems like his dad was not a Christian. We just know that he was a Gentile person, and he's never mentioned as having any sort of faith. And so even though Timothy, he's a bi-ethnic person, who his father is not in the picture, at least spiritually, he has Paul, who is able to be his spiritual father. And I think about, is it not possible that God is working in your life, that you might play a role of an older brother or an older sister to people who have no such influence in their life, who have no such encouragement in their life? Might that not be a way that you are playing a part in this story of your life and this story also of our city? And so not only does he help Timothy to see his part in the bigger picture, but also the second and last point is that we must work to develop our God-given gifts. You must work to develop your God-given gifts. We see this in verse 6 and 7. He says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." We see here Paul reminds Timothy to develop his gift. He tells him to fan into flame the gift of God. And the words he's using here, it's supposed to give you like this picture of a fire that is not burnt out, but it's small. And he wants Timothy to stoke that fire, to feed that fire, to fan those flames so that it can become bigger and bigger. It's like a picture here. You know, you have a small flame, right? You may have a small, sincere faith, but Paul's saying, I want you to develop that. I want you to grow that. I want you to grow and develop this faith and these gifts that God has given you in your life. You know, some of us were here last year where, interestingly enough, we had a life group named Rekindle, because many of us wanted us. God, would you rekindle this passion in our heart? Would you stir up again bigger and bigger this passion that we have for you? And that's what Paul is telling Timothy to do. He's saying, I want you to rekindle the gift that God has given you. I know that you have a sincere faith that was passed on through your parents and also through just your spiritual family. And now I want you to really stir up and live out and develop these spiritual gifts that you have. And it's easy to think, you know, well, Paul is talking to Timothy about how Timothy has these gifts. But the Bible tells us, God tells us that every single one of us in Christ has been given gifts to use, has been given gifts to bless others with. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all. To each person is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And so each of us, not only is God working in and around our lives, but God has given each of us who are in Christ, each of us who have placed our faith in Christ and have been saved in him and now are found in him, each of us has a gift that God has given. Each of us has a role to play, even in the passing on and the impacting the future generations. And so for you, the question is, what are those gifts that God has given you? What are those passions that God has given you? What is the calling that God has given you? And if you look at your life now, can you say that you have been fanning into flame those gifts and passions and callings that God has given you? Or perhaps, especially in this pandemic season, perhaps especially in these uncertain seasons of singleness, have you been putting that on hold? Have you been putting that on pause? And Paul is writing to Timothy. He knows that Timothy is facing challenges. Us, we're facing challenges like the pandemic, right? We're facing challenges like, you know, racial reconciliation or the desire for racial reconciliation. We're facing challenges like racism. We're facing these challenges of, you know, inequality and poverty in our communities. We're facing all of these different challenges. But Timothy is facing challenges too, right? Timothy is being persecuted by some of the people around him. He's in an area where he has no credibility, not really. And so Paul says, yeah, even in the midst of that, I want you to develop and grow your gifts. I want you to fan into flame those gifts that God has given you. And he encourages Timothy with the resources that God has given him. He says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. You know, and I cannot help but wonder what it might be that is keeping some of us from fully engaging, fully developing, fully trying to fan into flame the gifts, passions, and callings that God has given us. You know, for Timothy, maybe it was fear. Maybe that's why Paul mentions, when God has given you the Holy Spirit, the result of that is not supposed to be fear, but it's these other things that the Holy Spirit provides. And yet I think for many of us, I do think fear is one of the things that keeps us from growing and pursuing our relationship with God. Some of us are just scared. Yo, if I don't do A, B, and C, if I don't do all of these things, will I even be able to make money and survive in the future? Some of us are worried, like, what if I try to invest and engage in these passions that God has given me, but then I find myself failing? I don't want to fail. Others of us are, I think, scared maybe of loneliness. What if I pursue and follow God? What if I fan into flame these gifts, and then at the end of the day, I find myself lonely? Or what if I do all of these things and I find myself I'm inadequate, that I'm not enough? I think many times it's the things that stop us from fully fanning into flame our gifts and our talents and our passions is fear. And Paul's like, no, what? When you receive the Holy Spirit, that should not produce fear in you. Right? We know even in 1 John it says that perfect love casts out fear. Fear should not be the reason you make decisions. Fear should not be the thing that is hindering you from pursuing God. He says, no, the Spirit of God doesn't come with fear, but the Spirit of God provides us with what? With power, with love, and what here is called self-control, self-discipline. He says, no, instead of fear, the Holy Spirit in you empowers you with the very power that raised Christ from the dead. That's the kind of power that you have access to as a child of God. That's the kind of power you have access to as you are in Christ. And so if you have all of these fears about how powerless you feel, inadequate you feel, how incompetent you feel, no, you have been given the power of God that lives in you through the Holy Spirit. Or perhaps you're afraid of burning out. You're like, yo, God, loving people is so hard. It's so difficult. I cannot love people on my own strength. They take me to my limit and beyond. And God's like, you know what? That's the Holy Spirit, is to help you to love people. You cannot love people the way God wants apart from the resources that God provides. You cannot. And so he's saying, if you're afraid of, you're not going to have enough love, you're not going to have enough patience, of course you're not. But that's why I gave you the Spirit that will allow you to love people, that will help you to love not only people, but even to love God the way that you should, the way that he desires. And lastly, he says that the Spirit provides us with self-control. Self-control. I think maybe the best way to be able to understand this is like the ability to control, to master our minds and our bodies. And I say this because I think for some of us, you know, we might be chronic procrastinators, you know. Some of us might be chronically lazy, you know what I'm saying? Some of us might have difficulty sticking to the plans that we made and the decisions that we made, you know. But he said, you know what, the Spirit of God helps you even with that. Even when you feel like your body actually rules you, right? Like you, sometimes I feel like this. Sometimes it's like I'm enslaved to my stomach. Whatever my stomach wants to do, I got to do, you know. And it says it's time to eat, I got to eat, you know. Or like I'm enslaved to my brain. Whenever my brain says Facebook, I'm on Facebook, you know. Instead of that, instead of being enslaved to these other things, he's like, you know what? You have the self-control that is now available in you through the Holy Spirit. And I know for us, it's, some of us, it's a long process in growing in the self-control that the Spirit provides. But Paul is saying, Timothy, I don't want fear. I don't want failure. I don't want these things to get in the way of you developing your gifts, your calling, and your passions. And there's the Spirit of God. This is why you have been provided these resources in the Spirit, so that you can pursue these things. And so here in these verses, we see that Paul is saying, Timothy, you are part of a bigger picture, and you have all the resources you need to be able to fully delve into the gifts and the callings that God has given you. And I think that's the word for us today, that you yourself are part of a bigger picture. Your job, your family, your neighborhood, your community, there's a bigger thing that God is doing there. That it's not just your individual life, but that God is working in you, but also around you. And in Christ, we have whatever resources we need to play that part faithfully. That there, by God's grace, that there can be and will be people whose lives are transformed. That not only them, but their kids and their kids' kids will be blessed because they know God. That we have a part to play, even if you're the first believer in your family, that by now that's God's blessing and privilege that you might be the grandma in the future. You might be the grandpa in the future who can pass on the faith to future generations. And it might not even have to be your physical kids, but with the people who come to say, you know what, I can be like a older brother, older sister to you. I can be like an older father, older mother to you, spiritual father, spiritual mother to you. And what's encouraging for me, even as I read this, was like, Paul met Timothy when he was around 45 years old. We don't have all the dates, right? They didn't have the same kind of registrations we had, you know, but we know in general he was around 45 years old when he met Timothy for the first time. And that's when he was able to start to build this relationship with Timothy. And so some of us are feeling like, I'm 25 years old, 27 years old, and I can't be a spiritual mother or a spiritual father to people. And I'm like, yo, technically you kind of a youngin', you know what I'm saying? Like, technically, it's not even there, you know? And just to be able to say, you know what? With what God has given me, with the people that God has given me, can I be a positive spiritual influence to the people around me? And so that's the challenge for us. That's why the one thing is that God has a role for you to play in impacting future generations for the gospel. He has a role for you to play in doing that. I know when we hear that, sometimes for some of us, that's inspiring. You know, for me, that's inspiring. For some of us, I know the idea of being able to impact our future generations is inspiring. That's why you think about building generational wealth for your family, because you want to positively impact your future generations. I know you have that, and you get inspired by this. But I think the challenge for us is to be able to say, I cannot do these things that God is calling me to do apart from him. So even when I'm trying to impact the future generations positively, I need his help. For others of us, we get overwhelmed. We're like, I can't even positively impact myself. How am I supposed to positively impact future generations? I know that I'm sure you're like, my life is not even together. How am I supposed to be a blessing to others? And then I think what is helpful is what we see in Philippians 2:12, where Paul is simultaneously challenging and encouraging the Philippians. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So you got to do your work. You got to work out your salvation. You got to work on your faith. You got to develop and grow and mature that faith. But he says in verse 13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And so it's this weird both and, where you are responsible for working out your faith and developing your faith and doing your best to impact the future generations. But it's also that God is at work in you and through you. And so he is the one who provides the resources. He is the one that is helping you form those desires and wills. He is the one who is able to empower you to do those things. And so the weight of impacting future generations for God is not solely on you, but it's also on the power and the sovereignty of God. And that's our encouragement to say, you know what, especially even particularly with our church, what do we have to offer? I mean, we got some amazing people, we have some amazing skill sets, but really it's like it seems insurmountable on our own. But when we take a step back and say, you know what, God has been at work in Detroit for centuries, and he's going to continue to work in Detroit. And it's his power, his strength, his mercy and goodness that we depend on as we do our part. That's what gives us confidence to say, hey, even this weekend with the boot camp, we're going to do our best to be there, to meet people, to love on them, to pray for them. But it's also we're trusting that God is at work. He's working in the neighborhood. He's working in communities, that there will be people who will be able to love on. Even yesterday, we were able to go out and hand out some flyers for the boot camp, and I could tell you later, but I got rejected a couple times. I was feeling really bad about myself. I'm like, nobody likes me, you know, it's because I'm this nerdy Asian guy, no one wants to talk to me. And then we saw this one kid, and I was able to, you know, just give him a flyer and talk, and I don't know why, he was sharing about how he was getting bullied in his neighborhood, and how he feels out of place at DS, not out of place, but how he goes to DSA, and how he's feeling getting bullied. And I'm like, wow, like, if I had given up at that last moment because I got rejected before, I wouldn't have even been able to talk to this guy. And now as I talk to him, I realize, man, there's a need for even someone like him to be in a community that is caring, to be in a community where people can be his older brothers and sisters who can influence him positively. And, you know, it's not like I knew him beforehand, but it was God's grace and sovereignty that we were able to connect with one another. And it's with that kind of heart we enter into the boot camp. It's that kind of heart you enter into work, you know, where you feel called. It's that kind of heart we take when we try to grow in some of the spiritual gifts that God has given us. And so how can we respond as we close out? First here is that we can pray for our current and future physical family members. Now, I do encourage us. You know, you got Grandma Lois here and Mama Eunice here in this passage. But that could be you. That can be your role, to be someone who is praying and loving and caring on your family. You know, we also have, I guess, Papa Paul. Paul's praying too, right? We have people who are praying here for the people around him constantly, day and night. And some of us, like I said, some of us, we know the blessing it is to have someone who cares and prays for us on the regular. You know, I cannot help, even personally for myself, I cannot help but see that there are so many ways that God has been gracious in my life. And also, I have literally grandmothers who pray for me every single day, even as they had dementia, even as they were losing their physical faculties, that they have that love and they're praying for me regularly. I'm like, what? I'm just like, I feel particularly blessed. And I also have these people who are praying for me. And as we grow in our faith, might it not be that we can be those kinds of prayer warriors, people who are praying and loving and investing in our physical families? Might it not be that God wants to use you to influence your family spiritually for good? Secondly, we can pray for our current and future spiritual family members. You know, that there are people even in a part of our church who are lacking mature parents or mature adults who are loving on them. We have people in our church who could use the encouragement from a spiritual brother and sister. So let's take some time to be people who are praying for the members in our church, that we could be this kind of spiritual family where we are loving tangibly on one another, where we care for each other and are like family, even though we're so different, that we're able to still love and care for each other. And also to pray for future spiritual family members that may come down the line, that we can be good influences and good additions to them. And then lastly, just to press into opportunities to develop your gifts. Press into opportunities to develop your gifts. Like I said, I know there's so many things that keep us from really pursuing our gifts and callings and passions that God has given us. Sometimes it's these significant barriers like fear, these deep-rooted fear that we have. Other times, it's Netflix. You know what I'm saying? Those things also, I know, can keep you from the opportunities of pursuing things that God has put in your life. And what would it look like this year to say, you know what? I'm going to actually prioritize and press into opportunities where I can grow in some of these gifts that God has given me. Grow in some of these passions that God has given me. Grow in some of these things in ways that I can glorify Him. You know, can I be honest? That's one reason why I'm so excited for the boot camp. I know for a significant member, not all of us, which is totally okay, but I know a lot of us care about fitness and enjoy it. And the fact that we can use that to encourage and bless our community, the fact that we can use it, that we're setting apart time and energy and resources to serve our community in this way, it's not insignificant. But I think it's worth it because it's a way for us to say, you know, as a church, this is one way we can bless the people around us tangibly. And so we're going to expend of ourselves to do it because we think that reflects God's love and care. Because we do want people in our community to be healthy. We do want people in our community to be connected. So not just as a group, but specifically for you, what would it look like to pursue some of the gifts and the callings and opportunities that God has placed in your life and to press into that this upcoming year? So with that, I'm going to ask us to stand as we close out in a time of response.